I want to dedicate this, maybe it seems strange to you, but I'd like to dedicate the sermon that I'm going to be preaching to the Elder Don Mansager. He's not around anymore, but he's the one man that I heard, before he would come up and preach, he could jot down a few scriptures on a piece of paper, and he preached right up here. It was good every time, too. It was the ones I heard him speak on. He always did a good job. So I want to mention that, and as we can continue on, and we'll go right to the sermon. Let's turn over to Deuteronomy 8:1. Deuteronomy 8:1. These the sacred scriptures has so much to offer us. Too often, I think we take it for granted, because if you don't pay attention to the word, it's going to suffocate you. You got to have air to be able to live. And you have to have food too, spiritual food for the person. The inward person, the spiritual person. And you have your literal physical food, which we must have as well if we're going to maintain our bodies. Otherwise, we're dead. We're not going to live very long. Deuteronomy chapter 8. You hear a pin drop, couldn't you? It's one thing a good minister is able to do. They have fill time that they put in there. And it'll tell you all kinds of good stories you want to hear. So, okay, I'm a little slow today, but yeah, I'm dedicating it to, I don't know if you figured that out or not, but I'm dedicating it to Don because I left my notes at home. I had about 15 minutes. I was furiously over there writing and trying to come up with some scriptures, so I don't know what it'll be, but once it mixed together, it should sound pretty good. I hope so. Anyway, Deuteronomy chapter 8. Okay, verse 1 here. Every commandment which I command you this day shall you observe to do, that you may live and multiply, to do that which live and multiply, and go in and possess the land which Yahweh Elohim swore to your fathers. You shall remember all the way which Yahweh Elohim led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, to prove you. Know that it was in your heart whether to keep his commandments or not. Let's hold our space right there for a moment. Most people, you know, some people are actually not aware that the book of Deuteronomy was the last sermon that Moses preached before they went into the land. Now, Moses was not allowed to enter into the land because of the fact that he smote the rock, he was angry. Instead of just doing like Yahweh said, he had his own way of doing it. That's why we read that scripture there. 40 years in the wilderness, he might humble you, to prove you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. Now, we've all made that. I think you look around the room, you can all remember when you were immersed, right, in Yahshua's name. And we know that for that, when that happens, that it's causing a transformation to take place. You know, what's the greatest miracle in the scriptures? It's whenever a sinner repents of his sins, and he follows Yahweh with all his heart. And of course, it mentions that word love so many times in the scriptures. But you find it, Yahweh Elohim, in most cases, that the love of the scriptures is also there with the scripture that shows us that Yahweh's love. He humbled you and suffered you to hunger and fed you with manna, which you knew not. Neither did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread only, but by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of Yahweh. Does man live? Your raiment did not wear out on you, neither did your foot swell, these 40 years, and you shall consider in your heart that as a man corrects his son, so Yahweh Elohim corrects you, and you shall keep my commandments, Yahweh Elohim, to walk in his ways and to fear him. Excuse me. For Yahweh Elohim is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs flowing forth in valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of all olive trees and honey, land a land in which you shall eat bread without scarceness. You shall not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are as iron, and out of those hills to dig copper, and he shall eat and be full, And you shall bless Yahweh Elohim for the good land which he has given you. Beware lest you forget Yahweh Elohim in not keeping his commandments and this ordinances and his statutes, which I command you this day. And we'll stop there now. Let's one more. In verse 12. And then, and when you have eaten and are full. Okay, so he's talking about food. Ultimately, again, we look at this passage of Scripture. Remember when Israel was given this. This passage of Scripture was just in for ancient Israel. It's for us as well. Therefore, you know, we have to be the ones who implement this in our lives. And we have to be a consistent people. Because if you're inconsistent, you know, that's the salvation-wise, it's not good. So you have to make sure you're maintaining yourself spiritually as well. Let's go over to Matthew chapter 4. Now, Matthew chapter 4 uses this scripture here when we read, you know, in the last one about a man is not led by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth. Now we'll go over here to Matthew 4. We want to take note of this. This is one of the passages that you find in the scriptures. There's another one over in Luke, I believe it is. And here we find that Yahshua, he was trying to apply to the people. He'd show them, why is this in the Bible, this passage? It's here to show that Yahweh had victory over Satan. Whenever Satan ultimately was trying to stop Yahshua, and he was there to tempt him. Let's consider this passage again. Go back in. The title of this message is Living by Every Word. I'm going to do that. I used to teach homiletics years ago, and I would always, I seem like most of the kids, when they start preaching, they never put the titles in. So I was told, take care of that. I did. Let's see. Okay, Matthew 4:4. And we'll go for being a chapter, 4:1. Then Yahshua was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he afterwards hungered. Boy, you can imagine what an understatement that is. He hungered. I don't know how you would have felt, but if I miss one meal, I feel ravished. I'm like, oh my goodness, I can't take it. Well, that's what the Day of Atonement is there. That way we can keep track of ourselves from year to year and see if we're progressing and becoming a stronger person. And remember what Paul said. He always, and there was a man who was remarkable, truly. But Paul said that to live is for Yahshua, and to die is gain. And you know, he knew what he was talking about, too. Okay, move down here to verse 2, or verse 3, rather. The tempter came and said to him, if you are the son of Yahweh, command that these stones become bread. But he answered and said, it is written. Here's the same scripture we have from Deuteronomy. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of Yahweh. Then the devil takes him into the holy city, and he set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and says to him, if you are the son of Yahweh, cast yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning. And so you see there, and read on here. On their hearts they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Yahshua said to him, again it is written, you shall not make trial of Yahweh your Elohim. Now, you know, he's quoting the scriptures correctly. But if you want to check this out sometime, it's a good study for an individual because you could see where he was, Yahshua defended the truth. With the truth, you know, and Satan, the adversary, he ends up twisting these verses a little bit each time. You know, he was in the garden with Eve. You know, literally, he was saying, dying you shall not die. And, okay, so we go on here in verse 8. And the devil takes him to a high mountain and shows him all the kingdoms of the world and glory of them. And he said to him, all these things will I give if you will fall down and worship me. And we're not going to do that. He sends it. We'll see in the end of this chapter what happens ultimately. And we'll go on here. If you will not fall down and worship me. Then says Yahshua to him, Cast you hence, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship Yahweh your Elohim only, shall you serve. Then the devil left him. And behold, angels came and ministered to him. So that's what happened there. Yahshua got through that great trial. And you know, whether it was, we don't really know in some ways what the limits are of Satan, the adversary. I remember a number of years ago, Alan was here and he mentioned it. He didn't think that they could hear thoughts or anything like that. It's good to know because, you know, if you're praying and you are meditating, Yahweh, he will hear our prayers. I know he will. But again, we have to continue on. Now, again, this shows that Satan, when he tempted Yahshua, Yahshua used the word that is able the bread of the word that is able to save your souls. Let's go to James now. That's the whole theme of James there. It's a good takeoff point from where we're at now. And so we go over here. James. Okay. James chapter 1. We'll drop down to verse 19 first. You know this, my brethren, beloved brethren, but let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of a man works not the righteousness of Yahweh. Therefore, putting away all filthiness and overflowing of wickedness, receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. The implanted word, well, how's it going to get implanted? You know, they're going to give him a big shot with some kind of a potion in there that'll do that? No. Afraid not. The implanted word is something the person has to put in themselves. You know, we could check this. It might be a good idea. I don't have my Bible with the numbers in, but in any of that, I can check that when I get home. But it says again, with meekness, the implanted word was able to save your souls. Now, we already saw Yahshua. He is salvation for each one of us. And, of course, it says over in there's so many things good says to him over in the first chapter of John. Now, when he was there, he showed that, again, the word has to be within the person. Now, if it's within the person's going to be obeying it, aren't they? That's only logical, I think. So we can assume the implanted word, which is able to save your souls, is working on our own salvation right now for us. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deluding your own selves. A lot of delusional people in the world today, you know. We have to make sure that we are not people who are delusional. Because, again, it's going to make it harder to get into the kingdom. You know, it's amazing what's happening right now between two worshipers and Satan. You know, and I think I've experienced some things that some of you haven't. But I pray that Yahweh will be with you when you have to go through those trials and those temptations. For if anyone is a hearer of the word, not a doer of the word, he's like a man beholding his natural face in a mirror, for he beholds himself and goes away and immediately forgets what manner of man he was. But he that looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and continues being a hearer that forgets, but a doer that works, this man shall be blessed in his doing. If any man think himself to be religious while he bridles not his tongue, but deceives his heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and defiled before El and Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in affliction, and to keep oneself spotted from the world. That says a lot right there. You know, it's interesting how there's so many different ways that the scriptures prove to us that we must be a people who are obeying the commandments. You know, I was originally thinking about doing a sermon on Abraham here, but that's in the future, I guess. But in any event, Abraham, when you take his life and you look and see what he did, the things he accomplished. And when Yahweh told him to leave Ur of the Chaldees, what did he do? He left it. He went with his father, Terah. They went up to Haran. And if you know anything of the Holy Land and how it's all laid out, when you go to the Mediterranean, you have to go. That's what that highway was in the old days that the traders went and walked on. And it goes, it's a big loop on the top. And it goes over, it stops a hair and halfway, and then it goes down again. See, you may have wondered why it says that the enemies are always coming out of the north to attack the Jewish people down there. in Israel. Why were they going down and attacking it then? You can't. You can't come from the west because there's the sea, the Mediterranean Sea, and you can't go from Ur of the Chaldees straight across. You know, that's traveling through I guess Syria's down through there, and Jordan. But you can't go, even this present day, you can't go across that. But you couldn't go that way because they would see you coming. No, that was a very difficult trip because if they're going to have horses and camels and they have all the provisions that you need for an army, because we all know that in the armies, they'd run on their stomach more than anything. So what was going on then was that the enemies, they had to come out of the north. You go north from Ur of the Chaldees and you go what they call the crescent, it's the crescent that they refer to, and then you go down to get into the land. So you can check that sometime, and you'll see that's what happened to them. Now it says also, if you look across at the verse, let's turn to verse 2. Count it all joy, my brethren, when you fall into manifold temptations, knowing that the proving of your faith works patience, and that patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, lacking in nothing. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of Yahweh, who gives to all liberally, and upbraids not, and it shall be given to him. But let him ask in faith, doubting nothing, for he that doubts is like a surge of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. And let not the man think that he shall receive anything of Yahweh, a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. What else we have there? And so you can see how those two do definitely relate to each other. And if we go to Revelation, the book of Revelation, I need a quote out of this one. And you can, if you want to hold your prayer, when you get there, you can hold your finger there and go to Ezekiel 3:3. You see, this Bible was used a lot. The pages falling on there. Let's see. Okay, Revelation 10 and verse 9 and 10. Revelation 10, 9 and 10. Read here. And I went to the angel, saying to him that he should give me the little book. There's a little book that, as you'll see, why this is important to us. And he says to me, take it and eat it up, and it shall make your belly bitter, but in your mouth it shall be sweet as honey. And well, what does that mean then? Well, you know, we have decided we're going to follow the word of Yahweh. And the word of Yahweh is something you can eat too. Especially when we get into Passover, we, of course, recognize that Yahshua is our Passover lamb. And that is up to us to take him into our minds. He has to be our Passover. And hear more of that. There'll probably be some good stuff in the magazine. I hope so. And I took a little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up. And it was in my mouth, sweet as honey. And when I had eaten it, my belly was made bitter. And they say to me, you must prophesy again over many peoples and tongues, nations and tongues and kings. Of course, then you jump down a little bit further, and we have the two witnesses appearing. And they're very, very interesting people because we don't know who they're going to be, but we know that they're going to be, these guys are going to have real power in their hands. You know, I've looked at this dozens of times through the years, but I'll read a little bit, so I'll comment on it. And it was given to me a reed, like a rod. One said, rise and measure the temple of Elohim and the altar, them that worship it, in it, and the court, which is outside the temple, leave out and measure it not, for it has been given to the nations, and the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. Of course, there, you know, when you add that up, and that's 3.5 years, that would be the time, the whole time, the two witnesses will be functioning there in Jerusalem, be 42 months, which is 3.5 years. And I will give to my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days. It puts in days now. That's 3.5 years. And it gets interesting because some of these dates, if you go through your Bible and do a study on how many times it uses the number 7, for instance, or the 3.5 in terms of how many days and how many weeks it is. And you find, well, what sometimes are the ones that are longer. You go back to Daniel 12 and you'll find that some of these are longer and some are shorter. And the case remains that undoubtedly what this is showing is that there's going to be, it'll be during a sabbatical year. There you go. That will be during a sabbatical year. I've often wondered about that. That's the only solution I can come up with on the 42 months and 3.5 years. In verse 3, and I will give my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. And these are the two olive trees. These are the ones that are mentioned back in the book of Ezekiel. These are the two olive trees, and the one lampstead standing before the Elohim of the earth. And if any man desires to hurt them, fire proceeds out of their mouth and devours their enemies. And if any man shall desire to hurt them, in this manner must he be killed. So, you know, it's going to be a very violent situation. But these two witnesses, they said, if you look at them and you'll see that when they're mentioned, they're almost like, you know, people have a bit of some people do anyway, have a how can I put this? If it comes to me, I'll say it later, but I'll hold back right now. So fire proceeding out of the mouth. And that will be a very, very vicious and way to, they'll be devoured and they'll die. Verse 6 then. These had power to shut the heaven and rain not during the days of their prophecy. Now the other one was that way, of course, when it was Eliyahu the prophets. And when he was preaching, things happened. And he was able to actually cause all of the priests of Baal to be killed. And they died. And he was responsible. He took the responsible. And that weighed very heavy on him later on when he thought about what he just did. Anyway, you go down here to verse 7. And when they have finished their testimony, the beast that comes up out of the abyss shall make war with them and overcome them and kill them. There's two witnesses. These guys, you can see we mentioned here, they're going to be functioning during the 3.5 years of the tribulation. In verse 8, yeah, and their bodies will lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our master was impaled. It was at Jerusalem. And from among the people, the tribes and tongues and nations, the men look upon their dead bodies 3.5 days. It just predicted television, did it? Or cable TV, whatever you want. That's the only way everybody in the world could have access to see who died there. And otherwise, that couldn't happen. Verse 9, and from among the peoples and tribes and tongues and nations do men look upon their dead bodies 3.5 days and do not follow their dead bodies, or do not allow, rather, their dead bodies be laid in a tomb, and they shall dwell on the earth, and the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry, and they shall send gifts to one another. Sounds like Christmas, huh? Or something like that, whatever. They're so happy that these two men were destroyed. You know, and it says another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwell on the earth. And yet that's something to watch for, because whether these two witnesses, you know, we will probably know who they are, undoubtedly, I think we will. But we'll have to wait and see first. But when they appear, the enemies of Yahweh will have power over them. They'll be killed and they'll lie in the streets for 3.5 days. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying, come up here. And they went up into heaven in the cloud. Now, you know, this is the resurrection of the dead. And you know, you've heard the expression, of course, what's the one I'm looking for? In verse 12 again. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying to them, come up here. And they went up into heaven in the cloud. And their enemies saw them. They were dead for 3.5 days, and now their enemies are seeing them coming together. That's like Ezekiel's dry bones, huh? And in that hour, there was a great earthquake. And it mentions that in Zechariah. And a tenth part of the city fell. And these were killed on earth, an earthquake, 7,000 persons. And the rest were terrified and gave glory to Elohim of heaven. The second woe is past. Watch the third woe comes quickly. And the seventh angel sounded. And it says, and there followed great voices in heaven. And they said, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Yahweh and of his Messiah. And he shall reign forever and ever. And of course, then we go down and you see his name is mentioned here in this passage. And you go down the one right here to being the time to give the reward to your servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and to them that fear your name. The small and the great, and lo, destroy them that destroy the earth. That's a lot going on right now, isn't it? There is something we need to try to preserve the place that Yahweh has given us is earth. The man has done so much to evil, and they're what can we say? Pray that Yahweh preserves the thirst of the earth, and he'll cause the wicked ones to go. Anyway, here we have again, this all pertains to the fact, all this comes out of the fact that they're to eat, the wafer, we're going to call it, eat it up. It'll be sweet in your mouth, it'll be bitter in your belly. And that being the case, I guess that's all we have to comment on that. So again, in Deuteronomy 5, let's go back to the book of Deuteronomy. And we'll go with 5 and verse 5. Lack of time, I think we'll go straight to chapter 6. And we'll use that. It's basically a repetition of the same thing, basically. And let's go to verse 28. Deuteronomy 4, remember, 5:28. And Yahweh heard the voice of your words when you spoke to me. And Yahweh said to me, if I have heard the voice of the words of this people, which they have spoken to you, they have well said all that they have spoken. Oh, that there were such a heart in them, that they would fear me and keep my commandments always, and that it might be well with you and with your children forever. Go say to them, return to your tents. And of course, Yahweh's calling back Israel in these end times. And of course, we're part of that. We're spiritual. If we're not physical, which we probably undoubtedly are physical too, but we just, once they find a genetic test and they find out we're Israelites, who knows what will happen? It says in verse 29 again then, oh, that there were such a heart in them that they would fear me and keep my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. You drop down to verse 32. You shall observe to do, therefore, as Yahweh your Elohim has commanded you. You shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. You shall walk in all the way which Yahweh, your Elohim, has commanded you, that you may live and that it may be well with you and that you may prolong your days in the land which you shall possess. And we'll end it right there. Good place to stop. I thank you for listening I wish I could do the sermons like Elder Don did, but I guess some people do it and some people don't. Anyway, thank you very much, and God bless you all.